But my name is Hector Mirai. I'm going to be hosting the panel. Just for information, this is going to be primarily a discussion panel. This is not going to be me just saying, hey, think what I think or believe what I believe. I'm going to share some of my thoughts. I want to hear some of your thoughts and have a dialogue about your experiences in this field. And with that, this is Ashley Cox.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Hi. Can you all hear me better now?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Awesome. We're gonna be hosting this today, and a few things going out the gate because I never thought I'd do this before. I was at the GalaxyCon Raleigh, and I've been doing this panel for like years, like 4 years, like even like when it was SuperCon. And I've been doing these panels, and the last panel time, someone said, "Why are you qualified to do this?" I'm like, "Well, it's a fan panel. I think technically anybody's qualified to do anything." But that being said. My qualifications for this, and I'll let Ashley share some of hers as well, on a nerd level, I've been a comic book collector since I was 12. I was a screenwriter for 3 years for Screen Junkies and Clever Movies, a Fandom Entertainment. I screenwrote for them for 3 years. I'm a background actor in Swamp Thing on HBO Max, DC Universe. That doesn't count for much. And let's see, what else? And I've been a guest at San Diego for this exact topic. So those are some of my nerd qualifications. On a ministerial or a spiritual discussion climate, I've been in full-time ministry for 22 years. I have a degree in Bible, and I... Yeah, that's good. I mean, that's enough. And I've written a bunch of books on the topic of faith and nerd world connecting. So that's just some of my qualifications. Yes?
What's cool?
Masters International School of Divinity out of Evansville, Indiana. That's where I got my degree from. I also attended Carolina Bible College for a while and Southern Methodist University in Warrensburg, South Carolina, but that was because it was a girl. I 100% changed colleges midstream because there was a girl, and they offered me a scholarship to be on a theater team. So that lasted one semester. I proposed. She dumped me. We move on. It was that thing. I proposed on April 29th, and she dumped me on May 2nd. So she said yes. Took my mom's engagement ring. Never got it back. All the stories. Again, yeah. This is not what you came here for, though. Okay. So that's me on my qualification-ish stuff. This is Ashley Cox. You're still mortified.
I don't know how to follow that, guys. I like the standing thing. I'm going to stand up because then I can actually see you guys. Hi, so my name is Ashley. I've known Hector for, gosh, it feels like forever now. And on a nerd level, that's where you started. On a nerd level, I was originally not really a sci-fi person. I got into Star Wars with The Force Awakens. If you don't like the sequel trilogy, that's okay. I love it. That's my opinion. I really love it. That got me into it. I've been to conventions from San Diego Comic Con to Star Wars Celebration 2019 to Galaxy Cons. I own the business Fangirling Over Jesus, which in part was inspired by Hector and his amazing faith and fandom business and his passion and his mentorship. Fangirling Over Jesus is a business where I also try to pair faith and fandom, primarily through clothing design, and then I do some everyday cosplay items, which I'm going to shout out this really awesome Kanan dress that I made.
On her little nerd credentials, though, Ashley Eckstein, who plays Ahsoka, as well as the gentleman that plays Anakin, both wear her clothing that she designed. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, and I have photographic proof.
Yeah, she's got photos.
I was shocked.
And not just at the show, like in their lives. Yeah. So that's cool.
In a Christian kind of world setting, I've been a believer for 11 years now. I was saved in college. I have worked in ministry for 5 years at the church that I used to go to. And I love that job because it was with First Impression. So it was with helping people that continuously go to the church, but especially new people come into the church. And one of the things that I love about conventions is they're already like a welcoming place. I find fans very supportive, and I really want that vibe to translate to the church because I think we need that. I think we need that in that setting too. So that's me.
Okay. So that's who we are. If you have any questions about anything past that, you can feel free to talk to us after the panel. Disclaimer-ish stuff. First off, as Ashley mentioned, that she is a Christian, she's a believer, I am also a Christian. I'm going to tell you some things that are going to come from my perspective. Me telling you things from my perspective is not saying that you have to agree with me or that I disagree with you. And I want to hear your opinions, even if they don't agree with mine. This is for you to share. So this is not, this guy came in and told us that we're wrong and we have to believe what he believes. This is, he shared his opinion, I have the ability to share mine, and I would love to hear your thoughts as long as we have panel time to do so. I am leading a geek church service tomorrow morning, and that will be literally me doing a Bible study and using nerd themes as the kind of a base topic. So that will be that. So tomorrow morning, that's that. Today, this is discussion. So didn't want you to get confused with that. So if you disagree, if you find I disagree with anything you believe, I don't hate you. If you disagree with anything I believe, I don't hate you. And I like you. We're cool. Bam. Gang, gang. Come by my table. I'll give you Pokemon cards. We're cool. All right. So that's the disclaimer stuff. One of the things that I find so often is, and we had people talk about this, literally come by my booth today to talk about it. I also saw some stuff yesterday, is that not just within Christianity, but with faith in general, there seems to be a big divide with the world of faith, spirituality, anything of that nature, and the world of pop culture entertainment, specifically geek things, stuff like that. There's usually a divide. Wrong way. Oops. There we go. There's a big divide, and sometimes that's put off by one end of the spectrum of it, and sometimes it's by the other. But there usually seems to be a big divide. And just to ask, you know, if you want to share this, has anyone experienced that there's a divide between the two in your own lives, whether automatically or enforced by others? So, go ahead. Yeah, if you want to, you can. You don't have to. It's whatever.
I was just going to say yes, because from my family, like, yes, my parents grew up devout Christian immigrants from Jamaica. They had, like, Star Wars and stuff, but, like, there's, like, no correlation to that, and they're, like, social life, I guess, with like regards to religion, it's kind of like being separate, but like there's a, for my parents, there's a clear distinction between this is just a phase or a hobby or stuff, and this is like what the truth is. Me and my sister and my own friends have it more, I guess, it's more imbibed or like, I guess, coerced or synchronized, and a lot of people seem to think that that's not okay, or they say, oh, you need to focus one on more, or avoid the other. If they're, let's say they're not religious, you, oh, you need to avoid doing that. It's kind of like a conflict of interest that a lot of people, you, oh, if you're religious, you don't like this, or if you're not religious, they try to play for, like, pick points or pick sides and stuff, and it's, like, kind of hard to be both at the same time.
And that's exactly, like, the thing that I see, not just, you know, in small things, I see that everywhere I go. And almost every time we've had a panel like this, there's been a lot of people that have, you know, they can tell you horror stories from growing up of, you know, different things. Usually one of the things that I see is coming from opposition end of the church sometimes, or different faith backgrounds. Sometimes you'll see that there will be organizations, you know, within the church, within different faith groups, that will find a new point of attack to target for a while. You know, in the 70s, it was Dungeons and Dragons. You know, if you like Dungeons and Dragons, you're evil. You know, that was, I don't believe that, by the way, that was an example. But in the 70s, that was the thing. I worked at Walden Books, to show you how old I am. I worked at Walden Books, and we sold Pokemon cards, and I would, on a regular basis, have someone come in and, you know, literally try and shut our store down, because we were providing the children's with the evil things, with Pokemon cards. Then it went from Pokemon to Harry Potter. Then it went from Harry Potter. And I feel like today it's anime more than anything. And if it's not anime, it's TikTok, which is its own thing. You know, I know it's not a fandom, but it's usually, there's a focal point where there'll be a divide caused on that end. And then sometimes on the other end, there'll be a big divide where it comes from maybe the entertainment industry, from pop culture, from nerd culture, where there's a divide kind of instituted from that end to say anything of faith-based is negative. I'm not going to say what it's about because I don't want to spoil anything for people who aren't there yet. But Rainn Wilson, who played Dwight in The Office, which, by the way, is very heavily invested in spiritual things, not necessarily Christian things. He runs an organization called Soul Pancake, where it's people discussing various faiths. It's an interesting read. It's interesting involvement. But after a recent episode of television, which, because of the topic, I don't want to spoil it. If you want to talk to me about it after, come find me. He was upset at Hollywood's portrayal of Christianity and ministry, and that why there's always such an attack and why there's never a positive representation of Christianity and ministry. And that he put a tweet out. It got a lot of big discourse. Love Thy Nerd did a whole segment on it with that as well. It was a big debate. But one of the things that I found interesting was that Rainn Wilson was saying that there's never a positive representation of faith. Literally, one of his projects that came out last year was him playing a crooked pastor. So I was like, bro, how are you talking? You literally just did this on a TV show. But sometimes there's a division from the spiritual side. Sometimes there's a division from the entertainment side. But one of the things that I see so often is there people feel like they're locked into, I have to be one or the other, and that they can't cross paths. And if you do, something's wrong or you're broken, and that isn't helpful. And one of the things I've seen so often is that when you tell people something they're passionate about is something they have to hide, that causes division internally. When you tell somebody something that they're passionate about is something that has to be hidden or they won't be loved, they can't fully connect with people, they can't fully share with people, and they automatically think you aren't safe to share with. And there's a whole generation, and generations still growing up, that feel like I can't share what I'm passionate about with somebody in a spiritual sense because they'll think I'm not who I'm supposed to be, or that there's something wrong with me. And in the same sense, there's sometimes, even in nerd culture, I can't share that I have a faith in something because then I'm ostracized. No shade, no hate towards this person or anything. That literally somebody was posting yesterday that our booth should be banned and not allowed to be here. It's like the show literally started 5 minutes in on our post. It said, you shouldn't be allowed to be here. Well, it's just because they said anything spiritual of this nature, anything God-related, can't be allowed in a Comic-Con. One of the things I will high-five GalaxyCon on, they're big on diversity. Yeah. They will give equal platform, and they will share space, and they've always been good to me. And I always try to be good to them and how I treat everyone. Well, I do that anyway. But like, I try to be good with our time, how we react and handle stuff like that. But there's that imposed division. Does anybody else like have anything that's been like an example for them where they see that there's that divide where they don't feel like they can be open and honest about that?
I was going to say, one of the things I found was that I really like sci-fi. I also like science in general, so like chemistry and physics. And I've always been like told that like in science specifically, it kind of separates science versus Christianity. You can't like take any kind of faith and put it in science. And it's like, well, science should be the study of the entire world, and faith kind of talks about the world. In like a geek sense, I would say whenever I try to like explain things, and maybe like I use a mixture of like geek, you know, like I tell a story about, you know, something that was on Star Trek, or I talk about Doctor Who, and about how those things maybe relate or maybe see different things in my faith. I've met people that are resistant to that just because I mentioned those things. They're like, oh, you know, that's some kind of like show or anime or Doctor Who or whatever. And they don't reciprocate that because it's kind of in that category and they don't associate the two, even if they both have good aspects of them. That are sometimes I'm just using them for like a certain point. So it'd be helpful if they like could like just at least understand that even though I'm not always saying one thing, I'm trying to explain myself using the words that I have or what I've been through and the things that I've learned through different mediums and platforms.
Ashley, you can answer.
Thank you so much for sharing that, because I've been in that place before. I've been in church community groups where I will talk about something going on in my life and I'll use Finding Nemo or Star Wars or something. And it's kind of, you get a half and half mix sometimes of, oh, that's really cool, that's a great illustration. Or you get the, what are you talking about? So I'm really glad that you shared that. That's one of the reasons I created Fangirling Over Jesus. It's not just for girls, but I also want to speak to the fact that, like, there's not, I think as for me, at least as a girl, we are not always given a voice either in ministry or in fandom and pop culture. And I think that's something that I wanted to change. And so I decided to start that. And so I rock on, girl.
So whether you've experienced it or not, there's a lot of people that do experience that division on a positive, on a positively painful scale. They experience that, like, to the point where they feel like they have to hide, they have to do something. And yeah, I just truly believe anything that you have to hide causes division, and it's not healthy for your spirit, it's not healthy for your soul, it's not healthy for your mental health. So if you can't be open and honest about who you are and the things you're passionate about when you're discussing with people, it's going to be negatively impacting your life as a whole. So one of the things that I like to point out when we're talking about stuff like this, talking on this topic, what have been some of your biggest discouragements when you've experienced this? Like, maybe it's something that's happened with you, maybe it's been something, a conversation or things like that. I remember this was growing up in a Christian youth group in the 90s, where our youth leader would literally, if you had anything that wasn't Christian, or, if it was secular at all, they were going to, like, destroy it. They would guilt trip you into say, listen, what you've got is not holy. You got to destroy it. I can't tell you how many copies of Hootie and the Blowfish's Crack Rear View I went through, because I'd go to youth group, they'd destroy my CD, and they're like, I need another copy. I'd get, like, 2 weeks down. And then same deal again. But there's this thing of, like, where people would tell you, that's not okay for you. Has anybody experienced any discouragement personally on that road? Yeah.
Kind of what you were mentioning, just not on that scale. I was growing up in a youth group, hometown Mountain House Park here, where it's like a lot of my friends who had the same answers as me just kind of left, moved on with their lives. I was the last one in that youth group. Got really ostracized by dang near everyone because it was a very cliquey youth group. My click left. But I ended up getting ostracized to the point where I was going to give up my fandoms. I wasn't going to give up my Christianity. So now what? And I just told my parents, I was like, Mom, Dad, I can't go to this church anymore. I'm going to find something else. And so I did. And that's what I ended up having to leave that church. Because it was like, all right, it sucks. I've been going to this church for 10 years, and I'm not welcome anymore. So I left. Funny story about that one, though. Apparently, my parents were also looking for a reason to leave that church. So, between me and my siblings all leaving, they're like, okay, cool. This is our chance to duck out and find something else. And so, we're all very happy with the churches we ended up finding after that. So, there's a happy ending to that story, but it's a huge discouragement at the time.
Anybody else face any discouragement specifically to them in their life and their journey with this kind of stuff? Go ahead.
So I typically don't personally, when I'm having a conversation about my faith with people, even though I am kind of a big fan of stuff like this, is not something I typically intermingle with it, just because I know there's a history that tends to have negative reactions towards it. But I, a while back, was up in a group, and there was this girl I knew was having a bit of a hard time, and she's a bit younger than me, and I think she kind of looked up to me in the sense of, I was a bit more knowledgeable about spirituality and Christianity, and we were having this conversation. She had a really great relationship with each other, helped each other through some things. And there was only one time, she was just asked my advice for something. And I related it to something. It was probably just the smallest thing, but, like, in an instant, it was as if all my credibility was just gone as a Christian, because I watched something or I felt comfortable just speaking about it like it was just a normal thing, and she, like, never spoke to me again.
Anybody else anything to share? You don't have to, just giving you opportunity to speak.
I think the main thing you deal with in the route that you deal with is that, and I know faith is not just Christianity, but I come from a Christianity lens.
people, and I'm probably near the same age, I'm 48, so I've been at those things where cassette tapes were burned and things
yeah.
like that. But nonetheless, it's like you come from Christianity, it's supposed to, God and Jesus are supposed to be like the number one thing. They lead your life for anything. And so as you bring fandom into it, people look at you as it's taking your eyes off on Jesus and you're almost too like you're worshiping things that are not of God. Which I'm of the I guess of the viewpoint that God created everything. You know, evil, whatever you consider evil, corrupted it. And I think that you can find Jesus in a lot of different things. I mean, even Harry Potter, for instance, is like kind of slammed all the Christians in the face when they did the ending, and they're like, wow, this is, you can see the Christian story, you know, he sacrificed himself for, you know, the greater good or whatever. So I think what we get is this ignorance that comes, and it's a detriment to people's mental health and things like that, and the discouragement. So I think it comes from things like this, and I kind of applaud you guys because you're educating people so they don't walk out and condemn people for things that could be point them to God. So you kind of have to find what is in there and why you kind of celebrate that fandom and what it does to strengthen your Christianity or your faith. And once you identify that, then you get the linkage there. And if you don't identify the linkage, then you should evaluate it and say, does it take me away from my faith? And which is more important? So it's kind of like a balance. If it takes you away from your faith so much that your eyes are pointed toward the fandom more than your faith, then you really have to address that and say, what's important to me and how do I want to live my life? So.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. That was good. And that's what, you know, I'm going to beat that horse to death, but just reality is that a lot of this stuff stems from fear when there's opposition and stuff like that, because that was one of those things, you know, growing up in youth groups and stuff like that, was that if something else had my attention, it must be bad. Because if God wasn't getting all my attention, that they look at it like idols or things like that. And the reality is our attention's always divided, but I think it's more of not just where our attention is, but where our hearts are and things like that, and why it can be healthy or unhealthy with that. And but there's always going to be stuff that's discouraging. But one of the things I think is so important is when people invest in something, when people invest in fandoms, when they invest in cosplay, anime, stuff like that, when they find something in an entertainment scope that actually makes them feel seen, makes them feel valued, makes them feel heard, they're not just watching something or investing in something because it like occupied their time. It's something that they connected with. And if there's something that you can connect with there's something you can be helped to grow with. And we just miss good opportunities with that. And so there's, with that, and you know, just one negative, I don't think I've ever shared this, but one negative on my end is that I've been in ministry for 22 years, and I'm not taken seriously in ministry circles because everybody thinks I'm still just a youth pastor. I've been pastoring a church for like 14 years, like as a lead pastor, but like, you know, I'm wearing a Snorlax shirt today, so they're like, oh, he just must be the youth guy. So, like, when people meet me, they still automatically, here's the thing, I don't mind youth ministry, I love youth ministry, but, like, you know, I'm not necessarily welcomed in my own circles because of stuff like that, but the reality is I've learned if there's circles that don't welcome me when I'm being genuinely who I am, I probably don't need to be in that circle. And I think that goes for a broad stroke of a lot of things because, again, if we have to hide and we have to divide ourselves, it's not healthy with that. So flip that over on its head, though. What have been some of your biggest encouragements on this line where something's actually spoken to you, someone or a circumstance has actually encouraged you? And this is just one. There was 30 years ago at a GalaxyCon in Raleigh, there's a young lady that was cosplaying as Deku, and she came to my table crying because she said there was a street preacher outside the convention center in Raleigh that told her that God didn't love her because she was cosplaying. And she literally came to my booth in tears and said, listen, I just need to know. It's like, she's like, don't preach to me. Don't give me a sermon, but just tell me genuinely. Does God love me? And, you know, it was a super discouraging situation that happened to her. But we actually have got to have a conversation, and I've stayed in touch with her over the years as well. Just the fact that, you know, it can be something that can be an encouragement if you actually take time to connect with people rather than just force stuff at them. Because if I interact with you at my booth, I'm not trying to convince you of something. I just want to be able to connect with you. And, you know, so what have been some of your encouragements that you've seen along this journey of between what you're entertained by and, like, where your heart is led?
Well, We're having a sermon series called Good Enough. The G fell down. It became Ood Enough.
That's awesome.
I made sure to let everyone, like, I'm going around with video at church after sermon going, look, we are Ood Enough.
Yeah, that is amazing.
We keep our brains in our hand. We are so peaceful.
I love that. That's fantastic. Yes, ma'am.
So, I grew up Southern Baptist and, you know, was in the middle of a whole bunch of this. And when my kids reached their teenage years, we switched over to an independent non-denominational. And it was during that Harry Potter series stuff. And I got them a set of books to read. And we kind of got, you know, hit. It's like, you know, that's evil. But I was in a circle where it was fortunate because they're like, who is the most important world-changing nonconformist ever? Christ. Look at us. We're nonconformists and we can change the world. So to me, that's where my heart is. And it's like somebody tells me I'm not good enough. It's like, okay, you can press my hand. So anyway, that's it. Being
non-conformist
is great.
Yes, sir.
Kind of echoing a little bit about there, especially with your kids.
Yeah.
So my name's David Ludwig.
Hi, David.
Thank you for doing this panel. I'm a pastor. I'm a full-time pastor. I'm also a dungeon master. I also have other maybe obvious fandoms like me.
Do you have a name tag that says Pastor Dungeon Master?
I do. Awesome.
I'm going to make a sticker. I'm going to hook you up.
I love it. I think one of the things that comes to mind most immediately, we have five kids, and they're all adults now, but it was an incredible source of bonding encouragement for us. Like, there's different things like Harry Potter would think. It's like, I can't tell you the power of sitting around your dinner table and figuring out which house your kids belong to. And being able to shift back and forth between that conversation, okay, so what you get out of scripture reading today, and there's no sense of contradiction, or they learn to discern the difference between spiritual, the power of scripture, and this is a fandom or entertainment. Okay, we can pull scripture trees out of like a couple of degrees. That's been an incredible bonding thing, and we've had some family members who said you shouldn't be doing this with your kids. And again, it's given us an opportunity to stand up and not pound them back, but to say, hey, you know, well, we've made our own decision on this. We love God, we love Jesus, and we decided that this is fine for us. I mean, it's had a lot of encouragement, a lot of power for us as a family. So that's been an encouraging thing for us.
I mean, actually, I have a very similar story, but on the reverse side of things, where I didn't grow up Christian, and the first time I ever played D&D was actually with the youth pastor at my church, and he actually was not into D&D. He was he really loved baseball. He actually had a past of, like, being in gangs, but his kid just really loved World of Warcraft and Dungeons & Dragons and that fantasy world. And that he was like, you know what? If my kid loves it, that's what I'm going to do. Because I want to pour into him and love him and what he likes. And so, I wasn't a Christian playing Dungeons & Dragons, but was playing it with a bunch of Christians. And I just like felt like, wow, this is very different from what I thought Christianity was like. And so, yeah, he also played a big part in me being able to finally accept Christ.
So when I was growing up, I moved around a bit after I turned 10. And we went to, I started watching Doctor Who when I was maybe 12. And I started going to a youth group and I was wearing my Doctor Who shirt I bought. I got pushed off to the side, ignored. She's not good enough for this youth group. Then I came and moved down here, and I wore my Doctor Who shirt because I'm like, it's a new experience, let's see what I get out of this. And I made so many friends. Like, they brought me in and were like, so, what do you see in Dr. Drew where you see Christ? I can't remember much of them. It's 10 years ago now. But it was very good. It was like I was actually accepted and I was able to talk because I was very shy. They came and talked to me so that I didn't have to go out and be without coming out of, without having someone come talk to me.
Awesome. Do you have something? You good? Okay. And I'll just say this too, like, because I know everybody's in different stages in their life. Being that, like, my day job, my normal muggle life is that I'm a pastor. And that I've got three daughters. And, you know, pastor's kids have reputations, like, as the stereotypes and stuff. But one of the things is I've also seen is that a lot of times pastor's kids can kind of get neglected when it comes to actually investing in them as people. And with my oldest daughter, if you go by the booth, she's the one running the booth right now. But I had this whole list as a dad. I'm like, I want you to watch this, and I want you to watch this. And I had this whole nerd list of, like, by the time you're eight, where you're watching all these things. And there's a rule in my house is that we watch Batman the Animated Series every 3 years. And so whenever my kids turn six, that's if a kid turns six, we watch Batman the Animated Series all the way through. Take a 3-year window, jump back in. We're due now. But I had all these things about all the stuff I wanted my kids to be in a lot of ways, like what I wanted them to know spiritually. But the reality is what I have to understand, even though I'm a pastor and I have kids, I can't force anything on my children. They have to actually find that. I can be examples. But also, you know, I had the stuff that I wanted my kids to learn. But, you know, so my oldest daughter, she's a 15-year-old girl, and she likes emotional things. And she likes romance. She likes really sad stories and stuff like that. And we were driving to this show last year. And for an hour and a half, she's crying in the passenger seat. Like, not like ugly, dramatic crying. She's like, and I'm like, what is wrong? But she's like, I just finished this anime. And she had finished this anime called Your Lie in April. You know, you understand. And I'm not going to spoil anything. But you know, here's the thing. Like, the initial reaction could have been like, stop being so affected by blah, blah, blah. It could have been that. I was like, all right, I'm going to sit down with you and watch this and, like, see why you feel the way you feel. And, you know, after I cried for 4 hours. You know, my daughter and I had a better connection on that because we actually, you know, I took time to say, why do you love this? And I think that so often our spiritual connection and our entertainment connection could really be bridged in a lot of ways if we just took time to ask somebody, why do you love this? Help me see why you love this. And I think that, because listen, if we can listen to entertainment, if we can listen to why we love an entertainment, we're probably open to a lot more genuine conversation about why we actually love a God that we don't see or have a belief that, you know, different stuff. If we can have an honest discourse like that, I think it really helps. And I think it would be an encouragement with that. And so just for the sake of time, I'm going to keep trucking. One thing I'll tell you this is if you're looking for spiritual encouragement in the entertainment that you watch, you'll find it. Just plain and simple, you'll find it. Because when Rainn Wilson made his tweet about why Hollywood had no good ministerial examples. You know, not that I'm an authority, but I tweeted a whole list of really good ones back to him. The pastor from Broadchurch, gangster, love him, good. And I really hated it too when I started Broadchurch. If you haven't watched Broadchurch, no spoilers per se, but everybody in Broadchurch is a suspect. And of course, you've got Rory from Doctor Who playing a pastor. I'm like, he automatically did it. He's a pastor. And but one of the things is, like, it's reality is it was actually a really good spiritual representation of a ministry. Shepherd Book. You know, there's different people all throughout this. I had this whole list, but the reality is this, it's not just for looking about where you can find biblical examples in entertainment and stuff like that. It's about where you can find stuff that actually teaches you truth. And because reality, if you can find something that teaches and connects you with truth in your entertainment, it's going to be able to connect back to you spiritually. Because if it's the truth, it's going to connect. And which is why, you know, with stuff like Doctor Who, with stuff like things like Doctor Who is chock full of like spiritual encouragement things. One of the biggest examples of grace to me, and I don't know if I have that little video ready or not. I didn't plan on doing the video, so it might not be. But one of the biggest examples of, yes, that is the office baptism scene. It's my favorite one. This is all my little favorite clips of this. No, I didn't put it in. There's Uncle Iroh, though. That's the Iroh Zuko forgiveness scene. Tell me there's a better scene of forgiveness in entertainment.
There's not.
Like a fictional entertainment, there's not a better picture of forgiveness than Uncle Iroh and Zuko. There's not a better picture of grace and entertainment to me than the moment where the 12th Doctor and Clara have this moment where she threw away the keys to the TARDIS.
Yes.
And he's like, you betrayed me. You betrayed our friendship. You betrayed everything I stand for. You let me down. And she responds, then why are you helping me? And y'all, this line, I could tat it on my chest. It was so good. This line says, do you think I care for you so little that betraying me would make a difference?
Yes.
Bro, that's grace.
Chills.
And if you're looking for encouraging spiritual content in your entertainment, you'll find it. But if you're not, you won't. And it's just, I'm not saying you got to sit there and like scourge everything and analyze it, but be open to it. My kids are at the point now where they know that if we're watching something, I'm probably pausing it halfway through it to make memes. And my daughter who's at the booth, she won't even like wait for me to say something. If she hears a dope line, she's just going to pause it. And wait. So I'm just generally, if you look for spiritually encouraging stuff, that you will find it. Now I'm not, but here's something I want to tell you too. I'm coming from a biblical perspective. If you're looking for something in the entertainment world that's going to live up to biblical standards, it won't. Period. The end. The only thing that lives up to biblical standards is the Bible. And if the Bible lived up to biblical, if the Bible were made into a TV show, it wouldn't live up to biblical standards for content. So, shenanigans. No entertainment is going to live up to that standard. What I'm going to tell you is this. If you look for spiritually encouraging things, you'll find it. And if you aren't, you won't. Or it might be harder to do things. But I'm going to tell you this. When we shoot down stuff that people love, in essence, we shoot them down. You can't badmouth, like, you know, Ashley likes the sequel trilogy.
I do. Thank you.
I have a real reason why I love it, too.
Go ahead.
Star Wars, very few black or people of color creators were featured in the original films. Mm-hmm. Until, of course, you have the token X, Y, and Z characters. Me and my dad loved how Finn, literally a regular enlisted stormtrooper, ironically I'm a Marine, so it's literally could have been me. So how they literally went, or he went from this regular stormtrooper, in addition to being a black guy, which, take off the helmet, you don't see, you won't think about the actual person, yet that person literally becomes a protagonist, and a lot of people were upset that Hollywood is going woke because they're featuring too many people of color or people of however, or even like, let's say, got Ray. There was Finn and then the other.
Hope.
They were upset that she was involved because, oh wow. It's
like, oh, right, yeah.
Right, so like, it was so impactful and empowering, inspiring to me. Not because, oh, the Black. I get the same thing like with Halo or any Star Wars character. It says that inclusion, while being respectful and not making it, oh, it's because he's black, white. No, it's because he's another person that's able to have their own story, and he came from, I guess, humble beginnings, or I guess no beginning at all, because he didn't have his name. He just had his enlisted number, or is this his rank, and that was it. Yet that story was impactful because you got a lot of people that grown up through this day and age in this country that view themselves as a number or just a statistic. But they see that and they see a positive reflection even when they come from humble or negative or problematic beginnings. And so that's why I love this. As much as I love the Clone Wars, because that's what me and my dad would watch,
I also love that one, the one with the New Hope, because it's like you barely find, like, it's like a lot of some media likes to just push it in, like, oh, force feed or whatever, and that, of course, that caused conflict. Because it's like cheaping, it's like cheap diversity, where you're just always putting women because they're women, or they put a man or black man, or whoever, right? That just cheats it. But if they like, yes, this is a character that happens to be black, happens to be a woman, that is so much more impactful to people that generally been left out of Hollywood for the past century. Or they're viewed as, oh, tokens of, oh, we're not racist, we have, or we're not sexist, we have, right? It's actual, like, representation. And that's why I like the new Star Wars movies.
Yeah. Two things to say to that. First off, it's corny. Not what you said. not what you said. There's a Lego Star Wars special. That actually shows, and this is, to my understanding, it's canon, that after the events of the Force, after the events of the Rise of Skywalker, Finn does explore his Jedi training, and that they actually show Finn in the process of becoming to be trained as a Jedi. It's a, like a footnote in the story, but I was like, oh, good, I appreciate that. And then the other thing is this, and you're just like you were saying that there's forced inclusion and stuff like that. I really believe that it also plays out on a spiritual level. It's like, do you actually love me, or are you just trying to make me included enough that I'll listen to what you say?
Right.
And I think that plays a big part on the spiritual realm of things. We've got 4 minutes before I'm supposed to end, so I'm going to get you. Cause
I just wanted to ask, what was the name of that Star Wars special?
I don't know, but it's in my Disney Plus history. I'm going to look it up, and I'll let you know as soon as I finish this, I'll look it up and I'll tell you.
All right.
Cool. Because I know I watched it on Disney Plus. And I want to say it was like the vacation holiday thing where they went on vacation to like the beach or whatever. I don't know. I'll find it. So the last thing I want to just say is this on the same topic. Just like you can find encouragement in your stuff, and that not, you shouldn't just rule everything out. I will say this. Also, just be cautious of what you actually invest yourself in. Because the same people that told me when I was a kid, you know, you can't like this because it's evil, or this is not, you know, it's the other end of things. You have to be responsible for yourself and knowing, is this actually healthy for me spiritually, what I'm entertained by, and is this encouraging me or discouraging me? And because nobody else is going to be able to tell you that. Nobody else is going to be able to give you a genuine answer on that, because otherwise it's going to push you. Because when somebody tells you no on something, what do you automatically want to do? Like, do it. You have to be the only person to do that. And, you know, again, this is not me telling you you have to believe the Bible or anything like that, but I'm going to tell you this personally. There is a chapter in Scripture, Romans 14, that is the best guide for what you look at as your discernment. I was like, is this helping me? Is this hurting me? Is this helping other people? Is it hurting other people? For me, that's my guide. Like, whenever I'm checking something out, is if it helps me or hurts me, that chapter is what I kind of run my guide by. So we have 3 minutes left. I'm just going to give it for questions or anything else you want to share. Yeah, man.
Yeah, I feel like we just want to go kind of like to wrap up like everything you've been saying. What I feel like is a lot of like the older, what I would say older shows, like the original Star Trek Next Generation, and like, even like not older, but somewhat like the still kind of old shows like Lost, like they did like a really good job like appealing to like universal values. What I mean by that is like, you know what, they kind of give you like some characters or a story that you could choose to interpret in a variety of different ways, including Christian veins, and it like, it wasn't always perfect, but, you know, it did help bring people together. And it's like, I feel like that's something that's just missing in entertainment. Maybe the reason why we're just so divided, like, the end of, like, trying to, like, appeal to, like, universal values and, like, invite people to, like, a different point of view. And I've been feeling like, I wish there was more, like, explicit, like, Christian viewpoints in, like, entertainment. But I think, like, in the old days, like, I pulled up the original Star Trek as an example because of what I grew up in. It's like, there were moments where it's like it invited you to consider that perspective. It tried to force on it. It tried to invite you, and I feel like that's what you're missing.
And I agree with you 100%. An invitation will always be better received than a forced mandate. And I believe that wholeheartedly. Any other questions, commentary, anything? Yeah, man.
What's your opinion on the Chosen series?
Okay. Is anybody here for the next panel? Okay, if the next panel comes in, I'm going to stop talking because it's their time. Okay, here we go. I just started the Chosen series about a month or two ago, tops. I had a friend who was mad at me for not watching it. He literally kicked my door in and threw DVDs at me. I've watched the first two seasons, and I am dramatically impressed at how good it is. To me, and I mean no shade or shame to anybody that loves Christian entertainment. Most Christian entertainment sucks.
The world needs a hero, not just any hero.
Yeah, that's right. I love him. You know, I'll die on a VeggieTales skill. I love him. But here's what I'll say. The Chosen has impressed me on how good it is. There are times where like, I can't watch two episodes back to back because I'm emotional. Like, now, I'll say this. I've been a believer for the bulk of my life. I've been in full-time ministry 22 years. The Chosen has challenged me. It's encouraged me. And it's helped me actually grow deeper and ask some things and think about some things I've never thought of before. So that's my Chosen statement, and I'll throw that out there. And if you really care about what I think on our podcast channel, I've actually been breaking down episode by episode what I took away from each episode. So there's that too.
I got one last real quick question.
Go, bro.
Have you seen Jesus Revolution?
It's on my to-do list.
It's amazing. Really good.
What is The Chosen?
The Chosen is a show by an independent studio called Angel Studios that is in which one of the things that dawned on me, it took me like 8 episodes in to realize it's called The Chosen, not because of Jesus, but because it's about the people that Jesus chose.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, I'm an idiot. I didn't get that. But it's basically looking at the gospel story in a perspective of coming from the disciples individually as they're chosen and stuff. It's deep. It's beautiful. And it breaks my heart. It's so good. I've not seen season 3, and I know they're about to start season 4. And I don't usually endorse a lot of, you know, church stuff. I let people find out, but chef's kiss. It's good. Season 1's on Netflix. Our time is up, and I really want to be respectful of everybody else's time because they're not in here, but I want them to be able to come in and start prepping for their panel. Here's my contact info if you have any questions. I'm at booth I-1 on aisle 1600. If you want to come talk, I'm going to be there all day today. And there's Geek Church in the same space tomorrow morning at 10:30. Thank y'all for being a part of this.